Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Springfield, Massachusetts is Don Griffith. Don is Head of Financial Crimes and Fraud Prevention Compliance at MassMutual. Don, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Hi, Adam. Happy to be here.
So Don and I go back many years, to let all of you know that, but I thought it would be good to talk a little bit at first about Don's background, which is an interesting one. Don, you worked in enforcement at the SEC, then at LRN, where we both met, creating compliance training courses. From there, private practice, you worked at Goldman Sachs, and now you're running Financial Fraud and Compliance Group at MassMutual. You know, you've seen compliance from this experience, both in the financial services industry as well as general corporate. And one of the things we've talked about in the past is what's remarkable is how different they can be. You know, I've been at financial services compliance officer events, and no one has heard of the federal sentencing guidelines. I'm hoping from you having seen things from both sides, if you could talk a little bit about how they differ in their approach to compliance.
Sure. I think it's partly historical, partly the regulatory framework that financial services firms face. And specifically, I'm thinking of securities firms in particular who are regulated by the SEC, FINRA, and then the various exchanges on which they trade their markets, like the New York Stock Exchange, as well as, you know, the enforcement that goes along with that. I think that as a result, those kinds of firms, financial services firms, have grown up in a regulatory environment where the compliance departments were built around the requirement to comply with very specific regulations and securities laws. And as a result, the compliance programs were designed to test and monitor for compliance with those specific rules. As opposed to, say, a broader corporate compliance function, which might look back to, say, the evolution of corporate compliance through the federal sentencing guidelines back in 1991 and going forward.
Yeah, and that would be a huge difference. I mean, in some ways, it sounds as if, you know, corporate world starts with sort of the broad and works down to the specific versus financial services, which really starts with the specific rules and builds up from there. Is that a fair characterization?
I think it is. I mean, if you think about the way financial services firms work, the regulators come in, they want to see the policies and procedures that address all of the different compliance risks that are specific to that firm's business. And those are typically based on the kinds of products and services that they're offering. And then there are specific SEC or FINRA rules related to that. And then a lot of it is relating to the supervision of the sales force that is going out there and selling those products. And so as a result, the compliance function is often designed to address those kinds of issues that the regulators expect them to address. And in fact, that's what the rules even say, is that you have to have a compliance program that's reasonably designed to ensure compliance with the securities laws. And so it is very rule specific very often, as opposed to, let's say, a large corporation that may not be as highly regulated in any particular because of the industry that it's in, but may have, you know, FCPA, other kinds of broad corporate or organizational legal risks that any large organization would have. And as a result, you kind of start with a top-down approach, mainly because that's sort of where those kinds of issues can often, you know, strike you from a compliance perspective, because of the nature of the violation is typically some kind of criminal activity that can impact, you know, a larger part of the organization. Not to say that financial services firms don't also have those, but in terms of, we think about the compliance program and the approach to it, they've grown up in different universes. And as a result, one, I think it's fair to say, is a sort of more of a bottoms up approach, and the other is more of a top down approach.
And just to underscore it, I think you didn't make this point, but I want to make sure, is that enforcement tends to approach things that way too. I mean, it tends to be, you know, from my understanding of what you just said, that enforcement tends to look much more at specific rules versus the broader issues in financial services. Is that fair, or am I overstating things?
I think it's generally fair, mainly because the SEC has to look, and as well as FINRA or the other self-regulatory organizations like the New York Stock Exchange or somebody like that, mainly because they can only enforce, you know, rules within their jurisdiction, right? And so they're generally going to look for very specific rules. And it's somewhat a little different than, let's say, in the UK, where you've got, you know, prudential regulation under the old FSA, right, where it is the sort of these principles-based notions of compliance. Ours in the US is still very rules-based for financial services firms. And the regulators, through enforcement, are often, they have to hang their hook on a particular rule or regulation. That being said, I think that you are seeing some convergence of that, mainly, you know, even as early as the 1980s around publicly traded companies. Certainly that's the case when they talk about, you know, like the Treadway Commission, you know, part of COSO, and, you know, the tone at the top for accounting, right? And the notion of the kinds of things that the Securities and Exchange Commission would expect of a publicly traded company in terms of its accounting controls has kind of bled over into the regulatory regime for financial services firms, as there's been more of a convergence by a number of regulators recognizing that they're in different universes, perhaps saying different words that actually mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So given that the people listening to this are mostly from outside of financial services and are probably saying, okay, you know, how does this fit for me? What do you think the corporate world could learn from the way financial services approaches compliance?
It's a really interesting question. I think there are a couple of things, and I've been in on the corporate side as well. I led, you know, a corporate compliance team here for a while also, and, you know, I think a couple of things that financial services firms do really well are in actually drilling down into their business processes, because the rules are often so detailed. Let's say, you know, it's around a particular kind of sale of a particular kind of product. The compliance personnel really do have to understand the business and the products that are being sold and the business processes that take place to sell those products and services. And so they have a fairly detailed understanding of those processes and then can design compliance controls and, more importantly, compliance testing around those controls to ensure that they are, you know, they're being complied with. And so that kind of detailed testing and analysis is something oftentimes in corporate compliance functions, maybe you just don't have the capacity to do, or you haven't thought about it that way because you started from the top. And, you know, the drilling down into the various business processes is something that is set aside for some of the broader principles that you're trying to accomplish through a corporate compliance program. So I think those are sort of the two fundamental differences, is the ability to drill down, and then the on that testing and monitoring. I think financial services firms, just because of the nature of their business, have built compliance programs around that are much more robust. And so you develop some skills there, I think, that a corporate compliance program could leverage for some of their broader programmatic things, whether it's a specific risk on something like, say, FCPA, where you could, you know, do the same kind of testing through business processes, and you probably should, right? But even, you know, something like on education, right? The notion of, you know, directed education, depending on the particular function that the individual does, you know, oftentimes education is a broad subject that we try to, you know, blast out to as many people as possible. But that notion of drilling down into the business and providing targeted education on specific things, you know, takes a lot more resources to do. But it's the kind of stuff that, if you think about it from a business process perspective, would be helpful. So that's where I think corporate compliance functions can learn from financial services compliance functions.
And then let's flip it over. What do you think financial services could learn from the corporate compliance world?
I think one is that holistic view that you mentioned before, that top-down view. Often in the scheme of thinking about rules and procedures and specific kinds of tasks that go along with that, you can lose sight of the big picture in terms of what is the purpose of the compliance program, what are all of the elements of an effective compliance program, and I think really importantly, something that corporate compliance programs have been doing for a long time that financial services firms would say that they do, but not really programmatically, is thinking about the business ethics of your program and how does one think about ethics as part of a compliance and ethics program, right? And so, for example, do you develop ethical decision-making frameworks to help employees? So even if it's on a rules-based compliance function, that framework that you can provide to employees in terms of the ethical questions that one might want to ask will enable you to comply with a whole bunch of rules without having to know them if you just sort of ask the questions about what's the right thing to do. Because most of the rules that are out there, well, there are some that are very technical and, you know, you can mess up whether you know it or not. The vast majority of the rules that are out there are still sort of, you know, based on some principle about what is the right thing to do for your customer, you know, what's the right thing to do vis-a-vis competitors, et cetera. And so if you provide people with that sort of ethical framework, I think that those kinds, and they're trained in how to ask those right kinds of questions, compliance might flow more naturally from that. I think the other thing that corporate compliance functions do a pretty good job of is in thinking about risk and risk assessment, and particularly in how you roll that up to the enterprise view. You know, a lot of times financial services firms, again, are so focused on the specifics of a particular rule that you may not think about risk assessment and a risk assessment process the same way. And more importantly, how do you then describe those risks or those consolidated risks to somebody like an audit committee? Right, where your audit committee isn't going to be particularly interested in how many different, rules that you tested over the last year, but rather that audit committee is going to be interested in what are the compliance risks that are keeping you, CCO, up at night. And I think sometimes the corporate compliance functions, because they've thought about risk assessment as an element of an effective compliance program, do a better job at sort of thinking about that, and then more importantly, communicating that to the senior executives of the organization and to the board.
It's interesting, as you're talking about this, I keep thinking, you know, to one group spends a lot of time looking at the forest and the other one tends to spend a lot of time looking at each individual tree and its roots, and somehow you need to bridge across both views. Now, for the long term, do you see the approaches converging or sort of continuing along their own independent paths?
Well, I see them converging, and you know, I think we can look across the industries and see that both in terms of the regulations as well as the regulators, but as well as what companies are actually doing. And I can tell you what we've done here. A couple of years ago, we reorganized the compliance function. And as a result of that, we combined both our business functions and our corporate compliance functions into a single, you know, centralized compliance unit. And as a result of that, we leveraged the skills that each group had. So, for example, we started talking about risk assessment more and how it is that we wanted to assess those risks and develop key risk indicators around various risks and how those are going to get reported up to senior management and the board of directors. We implemented across the company, you know, an ethical decision-making framework. We thought about more about how we drill down some on education in various areas. And on the flip side, when we thought about some of the corporate compliance functions, we looked to what the business compliance units were doing with regard to how they were able to drill down into certain areas and the kinds of processes and tools they used to do that kind of testing and monitoring, and ask the question, can we leverage those same kind of skills or processes in some of these corporate areas where perhaps we were at a higher level and didn't have either the same kind of skill sets or tools, and then turn to those folks and said, show us how we can do some of this in some of these other areas. And so trying to take the best of both kinds of functions and leverage those skills, knowledge, and tools across the various compliance functions to enhance both sides. doesn't always work, and you can't do it with everything, but I think that there's sort of a practical application of where you see that convergence, because as a large organization, we have both corporate compliance issues and we have the highly regulated issues. And so it just made sense to try and leverage those different skill sets where we could, where perhaps they were untapped before.
Well, that sounds like a great approach. Well, Don, thanks for sharing with us your insights into this issue. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.